Good afternoon, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. So looking forward to being on the air with you today, as we always are. It's a joy every single week to walk into this studio, come in and get these headphones on and get ready to go behind this board here in the control room. Along with me today is Pastor Jim, my associate pastor in there in the studio. He's getting all cranked up. And let me get your head here. Let me get your mic on. That would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, there you go. And we're going to have Betty joining us in a little while. She's driving and she'll be joining us shortly. And looking forward to this show in our new series, Jesus Is. And it's all about what Jesus wants to be and is for you in your daily lives. And so often, we don't really have much comprehension of that, how his life figures in on a daily basis with ours. And we really want to talk about that in this series. Last week, we had part one of Jesus Is. And we talked about Jesus saying in John, the sixth chapter, that he is the bread of life and all that that means. And for those of you that missed that first show, you can go right here to tantalknetwork.com. Go to the tab that says podcasts and go to the name of this show, which is Living the Good Life. You can find last week's show right there and you can catch up on the series. The bread of life, Pastor Jim, who is he, the bread of life to us? And what does that mean in a nutshell?
Well, just a quick recap. Jesus said he was the bread of life, and he was the true source of nourishment.
Right.
The Jewish leaders said, wait a minute, who do you think you are, Moses? I mean, Moses gave us bread.
Right.
And Jesus corrected them and said it wasn't Moses, it was God.
Right.
And I think that was directing them back to Deuteronomy, where it says,
Deuteronomy 8.
8, that, you know, he went through all these trials so that you would learn that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen.
And Jesus said later on in John, the bread I give you is my flesh. And I always related that to John 1:14, the word Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
The word of God is flesh. It's what nourishes us. And that's why Jesus was saying, I'm your nourisher. I'm the one who gives you nourishment, who gives you strength.
Amen.
Who sustains you. And, you know, he went on to use some pretty graphic terminology about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Which that's symbolic.
Yes.
Some of them didn't take it that way.
But he meant it to be symbolic and realizing
of taking in the word and appropriating the benefits of his blood.
Right. And when we take communion, which we do at Beacon every Sunday morning, we used to do it once in a while, and God spoke to me about a year ago and said, let's do it every Sunday until I tell you otherwise. Been doing it ever since, haven't we? I don't know about you, but it's such a blessing to have that time of communion with the bread and the cup every Sunday, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, since I'm kind of in charge of that part.
You are.
You are. I always pray, Lord, don't ever let this be boring. Don't let it become... Because I've been in churches that took communion every Sunday.
Right.
And it was just... It was having a snack.
Right.
You know, that's how it got to be. And I prayed, you know, when after the Lord told you that, that's been my prayer.
Yes.
Is that it, you know, God, show me something to share.
And you do.
A little bit each week.
And you do every week.
So that it doesn't get like a ritual.
But it's such a reminder of what Jesus' death on the cross was for us. You know, that it was so that he would take all of our sins and sicknesses in his body on the cross, that his body would be broken. The bread of life would be broken for us.
Right.
And we could partake of it.
One of the things I like is his body was broken. And the writer of Hebrews says the flesh, the veil was torn so that we now have access.
Yes.
That's why his body was broken, so we could have access into the heavenly Holy of Holies.
Oh, amen.
Into God's presence.
Oh, amen. And the cup represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And without the shedding of blood, it says in Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sin.
Right.
So the blood had to be shed by Jesus on the cross. That's kind of a little mini version of right there, those 5 minutes or 3 minutes we just talked about this. So important that we all understand that Jesus is the bread of life and that we need him, his word. The word became flesh, John 1:14, you just quoted it, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, right? Full of grace and truth. And that's who he is. And we're going to be talking about truth today. We're also going to be talking about light. And so we are doing the 7 I Am's in the book of John. And for those of you who are just now listening to perhaps today and missed last week, this series entitled Jesus Is, we want it to be personal for you. We want you to take some notes, write it down when you realize during your week what Jesus has just showed himself to be for you. For instance, your provider, if you need to pay a bill and suddenly you have the money, you can pay that bill. Jesus is my provider. Or you have a pain in your body and Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my nourishment. If he gives you a bread of the word and you are reading it and it comes alive to you, Jesus is my nourishment. Jesus is my wisdom, whatever he is. How important that is, Pastor Jim, for us to make this personal, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I kind of do it slightly differently, and if anybody else does it this way, that's fine too. How is Jesus the bread of life to me? How are you, Lord? You know, I kind of pick up, well, how has he been the bread of life? How has he sustained me this week?
Yes, yes.
And as we go on, I can add, okay, how has he sustained me? How has he shown me light? How has he enlightened me this week?
Yes. That's what we want to do with this series. Make it very personal. Jesus is that for me. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the light of the world, which we're going to be talking about today. We're going to start with a powerful song that really kind of sums it up. Learning to Be the Light by the group New World Sun. Listen to this song.
When the stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know. And now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling and I owe it all to grace. It's so much better living in your world. Savior, what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, 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 as cold as ice. You can't melt it with advice. No one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give, so let the people come. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, the shadows hide, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me.
I love that song. I haven't played that for quite a while, but it's so significant because, number one, it's a process. We're learning to be the light in this dark world. We are learning to let the love and the light of Jesus shine through us. We're starting today with Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1 real quickly. And we're going to do two or three verses right here to start into this series, Jesus Is, and today Jesus is the light of the world. First this, God created the heavens and earth, all you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness. Hard to imagine what that soup of nothingness was like, Pastor Jim. A bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. And then verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, God spoke. And here is what we see, the first word that God speaks that is recorded. And it is light, or in some translations, let there be light, right? And light appeared. And God saw that light was good and separated light from dark. God named the light day, and he named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one. Pastor Jim, what strikes you right there? I love that. God spoke, and the first word he spoke was, let there be light.
Let there be light. Light.
First most important thing. That tells you it's critical, this subject of light today, this show.
Well, it's the very first thing he created, and he separated light from darkness.
He did.
And
why?
Well, we're going to find out why. I mean, there's symbolically, there's so much to this.
So much.
I mean, God, we know God dwells in unapproachable light. Paul wrote that. So I always looked at this as being, well, why wasn't his light going throughout the whole universe at this point? Because he's not of this universe.
Right.
I mean, it finally hit me. He's kind of in another dimension. I know that sounds corny.
But no, but it's true. He has to be.
Yeah, I mean, because heaven literally is not just where God lives, is not above my head. It's somewhere, I mean, yeah, it's up there, but it's on a completely different dimensional plane somewhere.
Right.
So that would have been full of light, but this created universe.
Right.
No, there wasn't anything here except
wasn't
darkness.
Anything here.
And, you know, in this little dark ball of nothing.
Nothing.
That was void and, you know,
It's so hard to even wrap our minds around that, Pastor Jim. How there, can there even be a ball of nothing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the scripture says it was formless and void.
Right.
It didn't have any shape. It was just like a blob. And God, he didn't work on that first. I mean, he does here on day two.
Yes.
But on day one, he said, light be.
Yeah.
That's literally what he said. Light be. And light was. Because they had to separate.
Right.
And the amazing thing is, even then, he didn't just destroy darkness, because the way every living thing is built. Every living thing is made to have light.
And darkness.
And darkness. We need that cycle.
We need it.
Now, you know, symbolically, darkness and light need to be completely separate, of course. But in a purely physical realm, every created thing needs that cycle of darkness and light.
Even though some animals are nocturnal, which means basically they're up at night and they sleep during the day. But
exactly.
Still, they have
still
a cycle.
Still, they're on that cycle.
Right. I know people like that.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway.
So, you know, it's important. Light is so important. It's the first thing. Without it, nothing else could have been created. Nothing else would have survived creation. I mean, you know, he does, he separates the waters from the heavens on day two.
Right.
Okay. Day three, let the waters be gathered so the dry land appears. Who would have known if there was no light?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then, you know, and also on the third day, he creates the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, vegetation has got to have light.
Right.
You know?
Photosynthesis.
Exactly. Yeah,
biology.
I was going to say, that's your teacher coming out.
That's me as the teacher coming
but
out.
But it's true. We, you know.
Yeah. Got to have light.
Plants are created to need light.
Yes.
Animals are created.
We need light.
To need the cycle. Yeah.
But we, even our bodies need that sunshine. People that live in places where there's only a couple hours of daylight a day, you know, in some of those areas of Alaska and so forth, that's hard on them. I've talked to some that are like that, live like that. It's hard.
Right. And, you know, we need, it sustains us. Light sustains us. Light
Amen.
Gives us life.
Yes.
Sounds like I'm quoting John chapter 1, doesn't
Let's
it?
Let's go there. John chapter 1. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God. In readiness for God from day one. All right, this is, for some of you, maybe kind of weird what we just read right there. Those first couple verses of John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's talking about Jesus being the Word of God. And in Revelation, the book of Revelation, how do we know, Pastor Jim, that Jesus is the Word of God? Because it's going to be written.
Well, yeah.
Someday.
Exactly. He was the second person of the Trinity before he became known as Jesus was the Word.
The Word.
In the beginning was the Word. And it when you think about it this way, all three.
Yes.
The Father, the Son, or the Word, and the Spirit were present at creation.
At creation.
In the beginning, God.
Right.
And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said.
Right.
He spoke the Word.
He spoke the Word.
And so all three were there at the beginning. And then, you know, in Revelation, Jesus reveals himself
as the Word of God. He does, yes.
I am the Word.
I am the Word. Right. And so here we see the Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything, verse 3 of John chapter 1, was created through him. Everything. We just saw that in the book of Genesis. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. And I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to mention it again. Dear listener, you were created by Almighty God. You may say, well, wait a minute. No, I was created by my parents. If you really study birth and you study the development of a fetus and all of that, it is so amazing. Only God could do this. And, you know, go back to the basic cells of the dividing of cells. My son Ryan and his wife Mary are expecting their sixth child. Can you believe that, Pastor Jim? And it is still a miracle for them. And I get these phone calls all the time. Oh, now our baby is the size of an orange. Right now, my new grandbaby, who's due December 10th, is the size of an orange. And that baby's already got, you know, different features already. You know, fingers and all that. And crazy.
I know, it is crazy.
Isn't it? Only God could
do that.
Especially
because this baby's a miracle baby.
This is a miracle baby, you know? Yes. They didn't think they would have any.
And let me just tell our listeners, if you want to have a baby, call Pastor and have her pray for you.
Yeah.
I mean, from personal experience, my daughter had two miscarriages, and I told her we would pray. There was some hormonal stuff going on. So We did. We prayed in church. You prayed. Yeah. And sure enough, boom. So my granddaughter is a miracle baby, too.
Well, and years ago in Cornerstone, our ministry that Betty was a part of, and she'll be on here pretty soon, she can verify this, there were several people that came from other towns and areas around because they heard that they could be prayed for and conceive and have a baby, which is kind of funny. I mean, people tease me about this, but I can tell you there were at least 8 or 9 that of these families that this happened to. Started with a family right there in our church, Larry and Marilyn, and came up for prayer, and that they had not been able to have a baby for 14 years. And so, I mean, you know, that you bring it up, I would have brought it up, but you brought it up. It's kind of cool. You know, if any of you out there are needing prayer to conceive, please send us an email so we can pray. Seriously, yeah. Pastor Jim, seriously.
Oh, no, I am being serious.
Yeah, send it to me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, or him, pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. But go ahead. I mean, God, this is, birth is so amazing. And now just going, this is my 12th grandchild, but I will tell you, every single one of my grandkids, it is like a joy and a delight to go through the pregnancy process with my kids as this happens. And this, even though it's number 12, is just as big a miracle as number 1 was.
Yeah.
You know? It's cool.
It is very cool. And, you know, I know when my ex-wife was pregnant, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, and getting to be there was really cool.
Right, sure. Know? Absolutely. So, but when you think of that, how God... He's the one that invented all of this. He invented male and female. He invented the ability to reproduce. You know, in fact, he says in the book of Genesis, go ahead, reproduce, do this thing. You know, let's get the earth populated, you know, with people. Mm-hmm. And so this is such an amazing concept. Everything in verse 3, John chapter 1, was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, not one person came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. Life is the light to live by. We live by the life of Jesus Christ, who is the risen Lord, and that is light to live by because of the resurrection, Pastor Jim. Ooh, love that. That'll preach.
Amen. Yeah, later on, Jesus says, because I live, you also shall live. It's the same thing. I mean, in him was life, and that's that he had life in himself, not that somebody gave him life like a parent would a child, but in him was the life of God. Woo. And the power to, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, in him was life. And the power to bestow life.
Yes.
And the life was the light of men.
Yeah.
That life that he has enlightens us.
Yes. The light is so important. So we talk about the fact that without light, how would we navigate around our homes? How would we ever build a house if it was totally darkness? How would we? I mean, if you just think about light and darkness, we have to have light. Mm-hmm. We need it spiritually in our lives.
Yes, we do.
And emotionally, we need light. And for those, I have a son that has a hard time when it's dreary, dreary, dreary. You know, he needs light. You know, some people have that deficiency, whatever that is. And he's got a little lamp that he can turn on to bring certain kind of light that will make him feel better. And we all spiritually and emotionally need the light of God. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You're talking about him. Who
right,
is.
Right. Well, and then verse 5, which is one of my favorite verses.
Yes.
The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it,
yes,
or appropriate it or absorb it, and is unreceptive to it. I love how the Amplified,
I love how the Amplified does that. Yeah.
It doesn't understand it. Light?
Yes.
Darkness can't understand the light, and we're going to find out why when we get back into John chapter 8.
Yeah.
It doesn't understand it. It flees from it. It can't overpower it. I like the example that Kenneth Copeland always gave. You're in a darkened auditorium, and somebody lights a candle. Well, where's your eyes going to go? They're going to go
straight to the candle.
And even in the midst of all that darkness, this one little light is always going to shine.
Oh, we forgot to sing that at nursing home today.
Oh, that's right.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Yeah, we were going to sing
that.
Woo! And then, you know, it can't appropriate it.
Yes.
Darkness cannot absorb light. Light destroys darkness, but it's not the other way around.
That's right.
Or absorb it, and it's unreceptive to it.
The Greek word right there is can't overpower it is, and I love this word, katalambano. And it means to keep under or down or to stop. That's what it means. And what John, who wrote this, is saying is darkness, I don't care how powerful it is, how evil it is. I don't care how conniving and evil and mean and nasty the devil works through a certain person or whatever, darkness cannot keep under the light. The light will shine through the darkness. I love your example of that one candle.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know, you're right. In the midst of so great a darkness, one little light is all it takes. And you know, in the darker it is, the brighter that one little light.
Yeah.
Seems. I mean, if you start bringing up the lights in that auditorium, that candle's going to get dim.
Right.
But the darker it is, that light's just going to shine all that much brighter.
Right.
And,
you know, ever seen people in stadiums who put lights, their cell phone light on or a flashlight, and what it does and how it looks? It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I like this. The light shines on in the darkness. The light of Jesus has not gone out.
No.
It shines on in the darkness.
Regardless, absolutely.
And, you know, the world is being, you know, compared to being dark. John compares the world, the cosmos, the world system to being darkness.
Right.
But Jesus shines on in the midst of that.
Yes.
And that gives me great hope.
Woo!
I mean, I don't lose hope because the light still shines and is always going to shine.
Always going to shine. That's why I'm going to do this song right now. God is good all the time. Because isn't light good?
Amen.
Isn't light good? I mean, come on. If we didn't have light, we couldn't even be here sitting in this studio right now and being on the air. If there was no light, no electricity, none of that. Listen to this song and why don't you just kind of clap and dance and sing along with it.
God is good and all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good,
yes, he is,
all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good.
Yes, He is.
God is good all the time.
Here we go.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. His light will shine. God is good.
Yes.
God is good all the time.
That's right.
If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and his
so unworthy, still for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercy.
You know, Pastor Jim, I felt impressed to play that song, and I haven't played it for a while, but I forgot it had that sentence in there all through it. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. That was not planned. I mean, I didn't remember it was even in there. How God does that.
How much like God is that?
Woo! And through the darkest night, his light will shine. So for you out there in radio land that are going through a dark night in your life, God would say to you today, through the darkest night, his light will shine. And I would say to you that the Lord wants to speak specifically to some people out there right now to not lose your hope. And don't lose your hope, because God is working in your situation. He will give you wisdom. He will give you guidance. You will know how to handle the situation you are in. And the Lord would say to you, through the darkest night, his light will shine. Write it down. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. Pastor Jim.
That is so true. And I agree. You know, it's easy to give up hope. It's easy to live in the darkness, or to feel like we're living in the darkness. And yet, even in the midst of all that, the light of God shines through.
Amen.
You know, I've been through some dark times, and yet the light of God was always there. And when Jesus says, I am the light of the world,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's that illuminating, you know, I'm the light. I'm the one that lights your path, that sort of thing. Well, the word is what gives light.
Yes.
And that goes back, of course, I'm the bread of life. I'm your sustainer. I'm the one who enlightens you. It's all about the word.
And in the second part of this series, it's all about lighting our path so we know where we're going, what we're doing. I'll just give you an example. I had no intention of playing that song we just did. It wasn't on my radar. I just picked it up with a stack of CDs and brought them in here and said, God, I trust you, whatever song you want. Had no clue that that song had that phrase in it. So that's how God does it. I'm not saying it to saying that to give me any credit. In fact, it's just the opposite. I am saying that in my weakness, his strength comes out because I didn't know that that phrase was in that song. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I needed the light of his presence for someone out there in Radio Land or many someones who needed to hear that through the darkest night, his light will shine. I wrote it down on my paper. Through the darkest night, his light will shine.
Well, I think a good example of that is Corrie Ten Boom.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, I highly recommend either reading her book, The Hiding Place, or watching the movie. It's Billy Graham movie, but it is just fantastic. But
it's a great movie.
She and her sister were put into the Ravensbrück concentration camp because they had Jewish people in their homes in Holland during World War II. And so they ended up eventually in Ravensbrück. And what's darker than a concentration camp? I mean, seriously. I mean, yeah. They were in an extermination camp.
Oh, yeah.
And
they could have been killed.
Well, it was. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second here. But, I mean, you know, one of the things that Betsy, who died in the camp, that was Corey's sister, told Corey was that they would eventually work to heal the wounds that all this had caused. And what Betsy said was, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And that one quote has stuck with me ever since I read the book back in the mid-70s. So that's been quite a while. But that's so true. The light, you know, they were lights in the midst of an almost impenetrable darkness.
Right.
You know, in that concentration camp. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, afterwards, they turned another concentration camp into like a recovery center for people.
Wow.
And Corey took the light of that whole experience around the world.
Around the world.
And, you know.
It really emphasizes verse 5 of John 1. That the light cannot be put out by the darkness. Mm-hmm. And so often we get so bogged down by darkness around us and even the darkness that we're confronting on a daily basis in some area of our life. And God would say today, the light is stronger than the darkness, and the darkness can't put out your light. You're the only one that can say, I don't want my light, you know? And that word again, katalambano in the Greek, the darkness cannot be kept under. The light cannot be kept under. The darkness cannot win in this situation. Betty, welcome to Living the Good Life today. We're glad that you are joining us and you're on the road and you avoided that very bad accident you just texted me about.
Yeah, there's a fatality that looks like on the 131 going north or going south. And I just pray that whatever's going on, that whoever's involved, that they have peace and comfort in whatever's going on, because traffic is at a dead standstill at this point.
Are you sitting still, or are you driving now?
I'm driving.
Okay.
Maybe in the song I may have to, because I was trying to get to an exit to get gas.
Yeah.
And the traffic is kind of slowed down, so I'm praying, Lord, extend that fuel tank.
Okay, so you just, if you're not there when I say your name, you just go on and do what you got to do, get gas and all that.
I'll be back.
That's right, you will be. We're talking about the light of the world today. We're talking about the fact that God is good, and no matter what's going on in your circumstances, darkness cannot win. God's light will win. Pastor Jim?
Well, and I mean, especially if the listeners have heard me preach or be on here enough, they know I firmly believe we're in the end times. And one of the things Jesus said was that because lawlessness is increased, this is in Matthew chapter 24, the love of the many will grow cold. That's talking about Christians.
Yeah.
Christians losing their love. But the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. We can't do that without having the light within right. us.
Yes.
You know, I said the light gives hope. The light illuminates us mm-hmm. and shows us, you know, where we're going. Without that, we would lose hope.
And oh,
without,
absolutely.
And without hope, I mean, that's where I think the devil gets a lot of people is makes them hopeless.
Oh, absolutely.
And if I have no hope, then
right.
I give up. I might as well live any darn way I please.
Right.
Because it's not going to matter anyway.
But what God tells us through Jesus in Matthew 5:13, let's turn there for just a moment. I alluded to this morning in my sermon. Matthew 5:13, let me tell you why you're here. Well, that's a good thing to know. I love the way the Message Bible puts that. Matthew 5:13 in the Message Bible. Let me tell you why you're here. These are the words of Jesus. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. I love that verse. We are here to be salt seasoning. You know, you can tell when I like to grill out, and I'll be doing it again soon. And when I'm grilling, I like to put certain seasonings. I have some things I like to use on meat to make it taste a little better. Or we're going to be grilling some asparagus here next Sunday after church, along with hot dogs and everything else. And I love the seasoning. And here Jesus is saying, you're to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. That's what seasoning does. It brings out flavor, right? If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to look at it. He said, you're here to be light. You're here to be light. You're here to be light. Bringing out the God colors in the world. Bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as, wait a minute. I've got a piece of paper on top of the rest of that verse. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Hide me under a bushel. No. I'm gonna, what?
Let it shine.
Let it shine. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Be generous with yourself. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 8. Shine, shine. And Pastor Jim, so often, I think people take for granted their Christian life and they forget about the fact that others notice if you make a scene in public or you scream and holler at somebody in public or even at home and you're not the light of God. You're not the salt seasoning. And instead, you just think you can act any old way you want to and be as mean and nasty as you want to. World's full of that. That's darkness.
Exactly. And for better or for worse, especially in the eyes of unbelievers, Christians are held to a higher standard. And
we
need to remember that. I mean, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You put your light on a lampstand so it gives light to everybody in the house. And he said, by your good deeds,
yes,
people will see. What they're going to see is Jesus working in you.
Right.
The light of Jesus and the Spirit working in you so they'll glorify your Father in heaven. They're not going to be glorifying God if you're not...
sweet, kind, and lovely.
Exactly. Sweet, kind, and lovely be.
That's right.
You know, if you're not walking in mm-hmm. the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly,
because that's where strength comes from, is walking in the light.
Walking in the light.
This
yes.
is so, it's just hitting me. This is so all intertwined. It's like one big old rubber band ball, you know.
Explain everything. That. And then Betty, are you still there? She may have
I'm
got.
Here.
Okay, she is there. Did you want to comment on this before Pastor Jim goes on with his rubber ball thing?
With the rubber ball.
Yeah.
No, you know,
you both have been right on from the very beginning of the show, is that, you know, we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
And if we don't let our light shine, we're not going to reach those people who are living in darkness. And like he said about the candle or the light that was in the stadium, that if you try to walk through life in the darkness, you stumble, you fall. And there, you know, it's so hard to navigate through life when you're living in darkness. But it's just like, you know, if I tried to travel tonight back to my home, it would be hard for me to see, because I have a hard time seeing in darkness. But now that I'm traveling, you see the light. You see things so much more clearly.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And that's why it's so important, people, is that, you know, let God's light shine through you. Be the electricity that charges other people's light to come on, just like a transformer does to, you know, utilities and so forth. Let you be the electrons and the protons and the solar energy, because it's all motivated and driven by light.
Woo! Amen.
By the sun, by the
Amen.
S-O-N. But we are driven by the S-O-N.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So true. Pastor Jim, go on with that. Oh, so good.
Well, you know, like a ball of twine or...
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Or some people make little balls of rubber bands,
sure,
and stuff.
Sure, sure.
Everything's kind of intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
Light, life, truth.
It is. Reality.
All of that. And you know, truth is not just something you believe in. Truth is something you do. I mean,
right.
You find that out in the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, well, it's in John chapter 3.
Yeah.
Truth is not some, and in 1 John, it's not something you believe or think. It's something you do.
Right.
Love is not something you think or feel. It's something you do. Light is not something that we have within ourselves, but Jesus gives us that light because it is life and truth. And what I'm seeing is all just...
They're so entangled, aren't
they? They're so entangled, intertwined.
That's so true.
You have, with one, and I think it almost all starts with, well, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was life. The Word is truth. The Word is love. The Word is peace. I mean, it's all intertwined, but it all starts with the Word.
It so does. It so does. And when you talk about the truth is, if you live that truth and you really are full of light and you live that truth, you're going to be walking in love. If that's your truth, that God loves you and you are to love like God loves, if that is your truth, people can feel it. They can see it.
Right. Can I read?
You can read whatever.
John chapter 3.
Yeah.
I'm going to read those verses you read this morning.
Oh, aren't they good? 19 to 21.
20 and 21,
yes.
in the Amplified.
Yes.
This is the
John 3, 19 to 21.
This is the, I guess, I don't know what to call it, the Revised Amplified or whatever. But this is the judgment, that is the cause for indictment, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come to the light, but shrinks from it for fear that his sinful, worthless activities will be exposed and condemned. But whoever practices truth and does what is right morally, ethically, spiritually, comes to the light so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, accomplished in God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence on Him. Oh, I love that.
So true. I love that. And that's why I'm going to play the first song we did today. I got to play it again. I was going to play something else. God said, no, go back to that. People need to get this down on the inside of them. Learning to be the light. Learning to be the light.
When the stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know.
now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling and I owe it all to grace. It's so much better living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. Melted with advice. No one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give. So let the people come. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, the shadows hide, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame.
Love it as even more the second time we played it. John, or Matthew 5:14, he just quoted it. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. NIV, Betty had to get off the phone for a minute. Yes, Pastor Jim, talk.
Well, I was listening to that song again, and I'm thinking everything we talked about, he touched on in that song.
Right there.
I mean, just, and it was all intertwined.
It was.
Everything we touched on, you know, he talked about. People don't want to hear a list. I'm gonna light a, put a candle on a sill. You know, that was just, that was obviously from God.
I mean, yes. Yeah, it was.
And that worked.
Wow. Wow. And so for those out there that go, I don't understand what you're talking about, me being full of light. When you know Jesus as your personal savior, when you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, when you walk with him on a daily basis, him living in you, you listening to his voice, you practicing the things Jesus taught, love, kindness, goodness, patience, things that Nan talked about today at our nursing home ministry. She talked about the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave it a little candy, a little... assigned a box of candy to each fruit of the Spirit, which is kind of funny. But I think the nursing home residents seem to get it. And, you know, so often we forget these are the goodies.
Right.
You know, she's got candy there. She had one of them was an Oreo package because we had devoured the Oreos earlier, so it was an empty package. But still, the goodies are we get to be the light. We get to walk around in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and long-suffering and self-control if we desire to do that.
Right, right. But we have to desire to do it.
We have to desire to do it.
And not everybody does. I mean, there are times I don't want to. I mean, you know.
We're learning to be the light. That's
yes,
that song.
Yes, that's that song. I don't know if we're going to play it again yet on this show,
but I can tell you that the second time through, I seem to get it better, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm learning to be the light. Dear listener, you're learning. You're in the process. You don't have it all together. Well, Pastor Jim is the only one around here that has it all together.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. So, but I mean, none of us do, is my point, really. I'm just teasing. But you know what? We all are learning to be the light. We are all learning. And there are times we fail miserably. There are times that we walk away from a situation or a person. We know we didn't handle that situation very well. But we are learning to be the light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Run to me. Get this light. You need this. I can't believe it's 4 o'clock already. So we got to do this stuff we got to do. So tell Pastor Jim, tell him about our Facebook post that just is out. It was out on Wednesday of this past week on my post and on Beacon of Hope. You want to talk about
it? Yeah, about once a week. And Pastor will,
Approximately
once a week. Pastor gives a, well, kind of a 15-minute quickie teaching, which goes along with what we've talked about, like, you know, it's kind of a bridge between the previous Sunday and next Sunday, which is really good. And it kind of helps to pull everything together. But it is posted on our Facebook page. That's Beacon of Hope Ministries. If you go to Facebook and search for us, we're the ones with the lighthouse with the rainbow around it. Mm-hmm. Or you can check out Pastor's page, which is Marsha McAllister, or me, or whoever, because it's a bunch of us are sharing it. And we just encourage you to go to Beacon of Hope's webpage. Take a gander at them. I mean, they're all on there. I post every last one of them. So,
right.
And they're really good. And, you know, they're just, it's short. It's just short, condensed, full of the word, little teaching.
That's what it's all about. What Amen. About our Thursday night show? What do we have there?
Thursday night is Go Yard, which is a baseball term for Hit a Home Run, and that is also hosted by Pastor Marsha, except it's under her nom de plume of Mama Mac, and it's also with Dr. Angel Falzone,
right,
who is a member of Beacon of Hope and is also a doctor, a PhD.
Yes.
So it's a counseling. It's a life coaching show. As Nan likes to say, it's free counseling.
It is.
You know, most of the time it's a call-in show. So you can call in, ask questions, maybe get some advice. I mean, it's a good show.
Yeah, we love it. Every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. If you miss some shows, I'm going to say this very quickly. Go to TanTalkNetwork.com, go to podcast, and pull up that tab, and you're going to see all the shows from this radio station, which are many, many, many shows. This show is called Living the Good Life. If you want to catch ones you've missed, and our Thursday night show is called Go Yard. So check those out Thursday night and Sunday afternoon. Also, our websites for this show and our ministry website is www.bohmglobal.com. Did I say that very quickly? I hope
yes,
so. bohmglobal.com. That's our website. Go to the bottom of the homepage to donations. If